It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
I absolutely love that portion of the book.
And it's I actually that was a poem that I wrote that talks about like, you know, you throwing a stone, a pebble into the water and watching it ripple back to you. And those ripples are actually you putting out your dream, your idea, and watching people be inspired by what you do in hopes that they also will start to rise up and dream themselves. So yeah, that's a very important chapter in Transcend, my book.
Yes. I just know that so many people, as I was saying, I have some very loyal listeners who will call me after the fact or text, and they're going to be so inspired by that book. Transcend, man, y'all Transcend. Have to get it.
It's such an inspired life.
Yes, man.
You, life. Yes.
Boy, you pull back the curtain, you open the curtain and everything. I mean, and, but it was good.
So many people that have already purchased the book and read the book, they said, Erica, from the first chapter, they said you just had us hooked because, you know, you spoke about the waiting room and what that really means and what it looks like when God has you hidden, you know, and how it is a very uncomfortable season, how you feel like, you know, like, what am I doing? It's painful at times. And I'm not speaking of like, you know, it hurts you, your body, but it is painful in the sense that, you know, you may start losing family and friends that you thought would be on your journey forever, you know, and you start to lose like things, you know, apartments and monetary things that you thought that would help you become, you know, who you always wanted to be. But it's through that waiting that God is saying, like, I am actually developing you. I had to take these things away because they couldn't go with you with where I'm trying to bring you, you know. So I talk about my waiting season, you know, and yes, it was a season, I tell you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it's hard to believe it's been 2 years now, but 2 years ago you're on the show and you were talking about the book and writing it. And so when did you really decide, hey, I gotta write this? I'm now it'll be a good soundbite if you said, well, you had the epiphany on my show, but I'm just gonna say, no, I'm just playing.
I mean, yeah. I wish that's where I got the idea, but to be quite honest, which I also talk about in the book, that the idea came to me while I was in Minnesota, a very, very small town, Lanesboro, Minnesota. And I was there for 3 months and I was doing a play there. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, I know I was there to be an actor, but God brought me there to cleanse me. Because there was a big thing in that town where I was the only person of color there that the town had ever pretty much seen. I remember the first day I got there, the director pulled me aside and she said, Erica, if anyone ever asks you why you're here, always say that you're here with the theater. And I did not understand that because I'm from Chicago. I've lived in New York. You know, I live in L.A. where everybody loves everybody. It's a melting pot. And I remember the next day I'm walking to the theater. Someone did a double take and asked me, why are you here? You know, and I had to say I was there for the theater. But the bigger reason after the fact, God said, no, you were here because I needed to get you away from your family, your friends, so that you and I can have this conversation. And it was one day just laying up in bed and he said, you're going to write a book. You're going to tell your story. And that's where Transcend came from. Yes.
I absolutely love your story better than mine, boy.
And what's very I guess what am I? What's very I'm trying to tell you that you know how Jesus had to go into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and through those 40 days and 40 nights, he was being tempted by the devil, right? Yes. And what's to mirror my experience, I was in Minnesota, a small town, like I mentioned, and what they were known for was their wilderness, their hiking, their everything. So I was definitely in a wilderness season for 3 months, as I mentioned, and a lot of the things that I was suffering with internally, which I speak about in the book, he brought that out of me. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful analogy, because I mean, you're talking about preparation, right? Preparing for that ministry. But also too, what I love about that, and what I read in your book, you're also challenging the reader to do some self-reflection of their own. So that just stands out to me. It's just so powerful. And something else I was thinking about, like, we both have been encouraging one another, like, from day one. I've seen you do some great things. You're working, and I'm messaging you and liking what I'm seeing, and just proud of everything that you're doing. But you talked about in your book, and I really wanted to ask about this because it stood out. You told a story about a compliment you gave someone that stayed with them for years. And they talked about how it was healing. So what do you think we underestimate about the power of affirming people?
Well, firstly, I think that we don't realize how much our words heal and how much our words have power, which also gives reason to what I was saying before about how after each chapter, there is a part where you can write in the book where I ask a question to reflect. And with that reflection also is with you reading those words aloud and telling yourself, this is who I am and who I want to be. So yes, like it was, I share my journey on when I worked for an agency in the fashion industry, and it was very hard, you know, where your outer appearance is what people judged you by, and so there were a lot of people, including myself, where you felt like you had to wear a mask every single day, where you had to, you know, look a certain way, act a certain way in order to be accepted. So, yes. And that compliment that I gave them, you know, it's something that they needed to hear that I didn't know, you know, I didn't know they needed to hear that, but it was something that I was actually fighting in myself, like wanting to tell myself how loved I was, wanting to tell myself how beautiful I was, even when I didn't feel it. So, I think most people don't realize that you never know the words that you speak could, you know, turn somebody's day up to the up, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And so let's talk about that. You actually mentioned your book too. There was a time when you felt uncomfortable with yourself, and
13 years.
What do you say to the teenager or the young adult who looks in the mirror and feels like they don't know who they are or how they fit in?
My advice to any teenager, especially in this day and age, is you are enough. Yes. You are enough. Yes. I have, you know, nieces and nephews that are at that age, the teenager age, and I know the social pressures that they have to go through each and every day. And I always tell my niece, especially, I just tell her, like, in the next 4 or 5 years, none of this is going to matter. It may feel as if your world is crumbling down right now, but as an auntie, once you graduate high school, most of those people you will never see again.
Amen.
You know, you will never see again. So that fight over the boy or whatever, it won't last, you know. So I just want to say that you are enough with who you are. So yes, I wish at that age, even 13 years ago in my early 20s, I wish that I believed that within myself, because I think that would have saved a lot of heartache, a lot of, you know, bad decisions. But I don't regret them all, because they led to me writing this book. So yes.
Amen. And giving testimony. I know, like myself, you just made me think about this, because I think we all have some or had some level of insecurities. And I know in high school for me, it was like if I had the latest kicks, you know, wearing the clothes, the nice hat, that made me feel like I belong or I fit in. But you talked about, you described a season where you wore like dark clothes and sunglasses. And looking back, what was going on internally during that time?
Well, I know exactly what was going on. I was hurting so much inside, especially because it was like, I had, even at that early age, in my early 20s, mid 20s, I had already built this brand, French Vendette. So I was always expected to be on all the time, you know, go to the fashion shows, go to the fashion event. Oh, there's Erica. And it's like you had to always be a quote unquote character, right? So people didn't really get to know who I was truly. So it was a lot of battles that I was going through internally with not truly loving myself. You know, I talk about in the book how like alcohol was a thing, especially because being in the industry, that was one of those things that, hey, like, let's go have a meeting. But at the meeting, they would say, let's go to a bar, you know. But so your social drinking now turns into, you know, a habit. So I think that all of those things became a culmination of me not being happy, you know, and also questioning who I am. So yes, and the friends that I was around at that time, the only thing that we had in common was the partying or the drinking. So it was as if, again, it was that masking all over again. So yes, there was a lot of stuff going on.
I'm thinking of questions as you were talking. The first thing I remembered in the book, I think you and a friend, y'all were in Chicago, and it was like
that old friend.
Yeah, y'all had the epiphany at the same time. Like, why are we doing this? I just thought that was amazing.
Well, first off, so my best friend, her and my mother actually have the same birthday, which is also like super, super crazy.
Yes.
And not a coincidence. So I will say also, and I'm going to give her a big shout out, that she was the one that brought me to God.
Amen.
That was, and I think it had to be shortly after that night that I speak about in the book, where, you know, my phone, all of a sudden, I wasn't getting the text messages. Hey, Erica, where's the party at? Where's it? You know, like my phone was dry as the Sahara Desert. Okay. And it was like, we go out in the place that we go to, that we used to frequent so many times. It was like, there was no one there. It was just pure darkness. And, you know, ending our night so early and sitting on that stoop of that gyro place, like thinking, what are we doing? You know, and I just remember after that night, again, a couple weeks later, she said, Erica, you know, girls like us, we belong in the church. And I was like, the church? And then but the way that she said it was, you know, that's where the good men are. You know, and at that time, you know, I was in my 20s, I can tell it. I was very boy crazy at that time. you know, again, that goes to the darkness, everything. And so I went to church, and I will never forget that morning. She said, "Oh, Erica, I can't make it to church, but you should still go." And I went, to Pastor John F. Hanna, okay, church in Chicago, and it changed my life.
Wow.
And I never looked back. So I think that is when the cleansing started to happen, right? Yeah. Where he brought me into church, you know, did the whole ugly cry and everything, so whimpering. And then, like, he just not quickly, because it wasn't quickly, 13 years I talk about, but he just started to show me things like, okay, Erica, I can't have you do this because I can't use you the way that I want to be used because you're still being dependent on that certain thing. I need you. And it was crazy because it was like, you know, I got back into church, and then that's when my quote unquote friends, they all started to disappear. Yeah. We got into silly fights, and all of a sudden I was alone. You know,
you weren't fun anymore.
I'm sorry.
You weren't fun anymore.
I wasn't fun anymore. Yeah. And that's really what it is. They're like, oh, okay, she's a church girl now, you know. And that's another subject for another day. That when your friends, you know, they know you as this one person, and when you start to change and transcend, they no longer think that you and them are you know, compatible. And all of that was all of God's preparation, you know, because I can look back now and I say, wow, Lord, if I still stayed where I was, would I have been able to do all the things that I've done?
No, not at all.
Not at all. You know, so yeah, he changed me internally. Because that's what he does, because in order for him to dwell in your place, in your human body, he has to live in a clean place.
Yes.
So he had to clean all of those toxins out of me. And I think that's when my outer core started to change. Going back to your question, that's when I no longer wanted to hide my eyes. That's when I no longer felt that I needed to wear dark clothing to fit into the shadows, you know.
Amen. I also, the other thing I was going to mention, and you talked a little bit about mom too. So you were saying how you didn't feel love, but I read in the book, and I'm just curious because your mother, I think,
my mother's my
saving, amazing
my grace.
Yeah, my she's an amazing
is
woman.
My saving grace. Yeah. So when I say loved, I'm not saying family love, because exactly. I will say my family, like, I dedicate this book to my family.
Yep.
You know? So they weren't the ones that weren't giving me love, but as a young adult, we don't get our love from our family. That's not the first place that we're searching for love.
That makes sense.
You know, we're trying to find our place in this world. So we try to find love, you know, in the lonely places with the lonely people, you know?
Yeah.
So yes, but my mom, I owe her everything.
Yeah.
You know, I talk about in the book how the instructors, the teachers thought that I had a learning disability because I didn't catch on to things the same way my peers did, you know. And I speak about it. I have a twin brother, so and he's very, very intelligent. So they're like, well, why is he getting it and you're not getting it, you know? And I will never forget that day when the school sent that letter to my mom and said, hey, I think that your daughter needs to be, you know, in a class with peers that have learning disabilities, because she doesn't know how to read and she's about to be in the second grade, you know? And my mom just looked at me and she said, there's nothing wrong with you. And I think that from that moment on, I'm like, there isn't nothing wrong. There isn't anything wrong with me. You know, yeah. I may be a little quirky at times, you know, but there isn't anything wrong with me because my mom told me there's not, you know. Yeah. And I think that even God used that situation to now fast forward in my life. The same person that you said couldn't read, you know, which I couldn't at that time, she wrote a book.
Yes, yes.
You know, like even he was using me even at that young age.
Yeah.
That's why I speak so heavy on do not dismiss certain seasons in your life because you never know how it's going to turn out.
Amen. Amen to that. And that's honestly, that was probably one of my favorite moments in the book. And what they said, the letter read something like intellectually disabled. Yeah, I was like, man, God bless your mom for, because I can tell you, and I hate to say it, but in our community, we lean heavily on what teachers, on their recommendations. And yes, many kids were held back, put in special classes because there are biases or blind spots that these teachers had and they didn't recognize. And it really, and they did it with my brothers and sisters and myself too, comparing one sibling to the other. That's, you know, you really shouldn't do that. And I don't know where it originated from, but I do know a lot of teachers have leaned on that. And I mean, it goes on and on, but what did it change or make you, look or view labels a certain way? Like, because I think we're quick to put labels on people. Was that an eye opener for you? Like now as an adult, when you see people being labeled?
I mean, 100%. I think that it plays a huge factor in my life, how I'm very accepting of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone, like people to this day, they're like, how are you able, no matter what country you go to, you always find a friend and you got all of these connections there. And I'm like, because I'm accepting of people that are different, because through their differences, that's what makes me grow as a person, because I'm able to learn from them.
Yes. Yes.
And labels to me mean nothing. It means nothing. But you're putting a stamp on someone that you don't know. You don't know where they're from. You don't know their story. Yeah. You don't know any of that. Yeah. All you know is what you see in front of you. And my parents, my granny, which I also speak about in the book, like they always say, like, treat people how you want to be treated. Yes. Until they give you a reason otherwise. But even then, you give them grace.
Amen.
And that's what I'm learning. Like, yes, you can't and you won't be everybody's cup of tea, nor do you want to be.
Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays.
Come get your $25 back.
No, I love walking in your uniqueness. And I get ragged a lot. You know, you're too nice or you know, give people. But I love, because I understand the beauty in the world and the beauty in people. People are remarkable and have their own stories. And when you really get to learn them and try to look at life through their lens, man, it's just it's just a beautiful experience. And you know, so you missed out, but you don't.
Experience. Yeah. And that's what even the book is about, is experiencing life and enjoying the journey. Even if it gets hard, you have to keep going.
Yes, and
that's what I really, really harp on every single day, even throughout my social media. people are like, man, Erica, give it a rest. Like, you know, I'm just saying, keep going. But like, just because you don't want to hear it no more, there's somebody that needs to hear that.
That's
they
right.
They need to hear keep going. They need to hear, oh man, like people are actually seeing the work that I'm putting out. Because that's another thing as a creative, you know.
Yes. Yes. You're doing it.
It's like trying to get the support from your friends, your family, like, please just like my post, repost it, you know? But what I'm learning even with the book is that it's going to find the right people.
Yeah.
And you don't want to force anything. And once it finds that person, it's because they were meant to see it and they were meant to read this book. So yeah, that has been my motto since the book launched in April.
Man, I love it. And you, what was I going to ask you? You talked about our friends and family, and I think sometimes they're used to seeing the old Erica or the old Alonzo, and it's hard for them to see all the other things. You know, you'll get some support.
Yeah,
but I think you get more support from people who really didn't know you in that previous life sometimes, because they're stuck into who you used to be. And yeah.
Well, that's 100% true. I also speak about that in the first couple, I think mm-hmm. actually in the first couple pages, I speak about how someone who had known me for about 10 years had saw me randomly here in LA and didn't recognize me. They're like, I feel like I need to be reintroduced to this Erica because she doesn't have the mohawk hairstyle anymore, mm-hmm. the sunglasses and the dark clothing, so yes. And she was still trying to kind of bring up like who I was in the past, and for me, I didn't even recognize that. I couldn't even remember that this is who I was.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing, that when God cleanses you, he doesn't just cleanse you, you know, internally, but he cleanses your mind.
Amen.
Because he doesn't want you to have to remember anymore the hard times. And yes, like I told her, I was like, well, my name is Miss Erica DeGrasse.
I want you to post this photo of you with the mohawk on social media. So I gotta see that, man.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, it's just at this point, it's a simple Google search.
Is it?
Yes, like Erica DeGraffery fashion stylist, because I was all over every blog from Vogue to Harper's Bazaar to just every major blog over the last like 6-7 years of when I was a stylist captured that look, and that was another thing. I couldn't let that look go because that was how I was recognized.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a fear that, oh my gosh, if I let this go, no one's going to recognize me. No one's going to like me anymore. No one's going to, you know, but God said, no, that's not who you are anymore. And yeah, he just slowly kept changing me, changing my appearance, changing what I like to do on my daily, you know. It's a full transformation.
Amen, amen. And it's been 2 years since I really started like doing my research. So yeah, I may have came across it back then. It's hard to believe 2 years, but hey, you know what? I should tell, because I've garnered a few more listeners since you've been on. So I do want to let everyone know that I have Erica DeGraff. Actress, you've been on Chicago PD, numerous roles on BET Plus,
yes.
Comedy Central, Disney Plus, woo! Amazon Prime. I know I'm missing you. You've done theater work, former fashion stylist, photographer, international artist, and now author of Transcend. Man, you're doing it.
And all the glory goes to God. Yes, amen. Sir.
Amen to that. And now, speaking of which, all these nuggets and you're dropping and things you're doing, mm-hmm. you wrote about not sharing ideas when God gives them to you. I want my listeners to really kind of take that in. Because in most cases, they do say you should keep things close to the chest. So why do you subscribe to that philosophy?
Well, I subscribe to the philosophy because of the fact that God will drop it in your spirit, but it's only because he needs you to start being prepared for it, yeah. right? So if you start to tell the whole world what he wants you to do, that will sometimes garner people that do not have, you know, the best interest for you.
Yes.
You know, and everyone knows that you know, there are, when there's flies are attracted to light, right?
Yeah.
and you know, and you don't want that fly to be attracted to your light and poison it, right?
So I like that.
So that's why it's so important that you keep these ideas to yourself, because there are also some people that, since they've never seen it happen within their own life, they can try to tell you that it's not possible.
Yeah.
And you don't want anyone discouraging you, especially when you heard clearly from God and he said, no, I need you to do this.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, yes. Mm-hmm.
No, well said. I was going to also add, and I didn't think this was true, but now I know it is to be true, that there are people who will actually pray against what, I mean, they will literally pray that you don't get that gig for their own selfish reasons sometime. I want Erica to stay in LA with me this weekend. I don't want her to get that gig in, you know, overseas. Let me, you know, Lord, make a way, keep her here, you know. So it's just people, yeah, you have to be mindful of that.
And I'm very sure that has happened on occasions, you know, in my past where I got excited. And that's another thing, too, where we get so excited and we want to tell the world. Right. Mm-hmm. And that is when, like you mentioned, the people start to pray against it. And then you wonder why that door didn't open.
Yeah.
You're like, well, God, you told me. And he's like, yeah, I told you. So there's so many things that he, you know, he's had to work on me with that, because, you know, when I have these great things that happen, I want to tell people so that people can be like, oh, my gosh, it was possible for her. It's possible for me.
Yes.
You know, so God has been, he's been working on me with that.
So what are you, do you have it? Well, here I am asking about what's next, but I'm just, man, your arsenal, man, is plentiful. It's just a lot of great things, and man, just super proud of you. Can you tell us about Love Letters to Black Women?
Oh, wow. So Love Letters to Black Women was a monologue. I wouldn't say a competition. Well, yes, actually, it was a competition from the playwright Shanisha Dotson, who mm-hmm. I've worked with before on a stage play that was here in L.A. about 2 years ago. Wow, everything happened 2 years ago. But yes, so she asked me, she's like, Erica, I would love to have you read this monologue from this writer that is based in Africa. So a lot of the people that submitted to this competition, their poems and things like that, they were from Africa.
Wow.
Which that's a bigger story for another day of, like, you know, our roots being, you know, so prevalent everywhere. Yeah. So, so we did, it was originally supposed to be a live performance and a theater, but there were things that kind of fell through. But I think that was also from God to allow so many people from all over the world to tap in and see these poems being read via Zoom. So I did this beautiful, beautiful poem that was titled Genius, this monologue poem. And it was so relevant to myself. I told Miss Shanisha, I said, I don't think you knew how healing it was for me because the poem monologue, it was basically about a woman who has achieved everything in this world.
Yeah.
Everything. But the one thing that she could not achieve was finding love.
Mm.
You know, but through this, she knew that love wasn't being found in a person, but her needing to just love herself.
Wow, wow, that's deep. That is deep.
So I don't know if Miss Shanisha was like, you know, oh, I think this is Erica, you know, but yeah. I will say that as I was memorizing it and I was about to perform it, I said, wow. This is you. This is your journey. You know, where in the monologue poem, the young lady walks in her apartment and she sees, like, you know, the bachelor's degree, the master's degree, mm-hmm. the doctorate. She has an award for her work, and it's just her.
Yeah.
You know, it was beautiful. It
Man.
Was beautiful.
Man, you giving me goosebumps listening to that, because so people who know me, I can, like, you tell me a story and I'm just like TV guru. I'll my brain will go to a series, and I'm sitting here thinking about Girlfriends. I don't know if you ever
watched Girlfriends.
But when Joan had this hard time eating alone, and I'm like, can you do, like, me myself? I go to movies by myself. I eat alone. Yeah, it's like, I think when you're there, you know you're there, and that's like one of the signs, right? Like, I am.
And when you say there, you mean like you found the love within yourself, right?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And you're very comfortable, and I can crack myself up, man. I'll say some of the corniest jokes, and they're funny to me. So,
what I've also learned on this journey is that we're never alone, right?
Yeah.
Because God is in us, God is with us. So I think that when people also say, wow, Erica, how are you able to travel overseas by yourself? Aren't you scared? No, I'm not scared, because I know who I belong to.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm highly protected. Okay. Yeah. So I think that it did take a long time, to get to this point of loving being by myself, loving who I am, not caring about the opinions of others, because I know what I had to go through to get here.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
And I'm sure that there will be many other things that I will have to go through in order to, you know, become the best version of myself. But everything that God allowed to happen over these last 13 years, they needed to happen, because that's my testimony in order to help someone else.
Yes, yeah.
So why I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be alone. I'm not afraid to do things by myself, because I love myself.
Amen.
When I tell you, I love myself and every part of myself, and I couldn't say that 13 years ago.
I was just getting to ask, like, can you pinpoint the moment when you said, I have arrived, I'm there? Can you think of that moment?
I don't think. It's funny, because with every day, mm-hmm. it's always a new experience that I feel like, oh, I've arrived. Yeah. You know, and God's like, no, no, you haven't. You know?
Yes, yes.
So every day feels like I have arrived at that point of, I love myself. But I will say, I think when I got baptized again,
mm-hmm.
At the age of 28 in New York, with Pastor Michael A. Warren of First Corinthians Baptist Church. And I remember, until this day, I still attend the same church, because they are building a branch here in LA. And
wow.
I am now part of the leadership team at that church, which is also full circle of me walking in that church broken in New York, and now being able to help and heal other people now as a leader on the board. So yeah, that's full circle. But yes, at 28 years old, it was dropped in my spirit. God said that I need you to I need you to get baptized again. Because when you first did it at 10 years old, you didn't know me. Mm. But now you know me, and I need to take you deeper. I need to cleanse you even more to be able to use you. So once I got dipped in that water, I will never forget. It was, I will say, it felt like a love that I never experienced before. Wow. Wow. I will never forget it. When I got brought back, you know, up from the water, it was like as if this cool breeze just covered me.
Yeah.
And I've been changed since then.
Amen. Was mom, was family there?
No. And that's another thing too. When I lived in New York, I literally moved there with three suitcases, $60 in my pocket.
Wow.
And just a prayer, like really. So I went there. I was staying with this really, really amazing family. And I said, God is so funny, because right before I left Chicago to go to New York, I said, God, I just want to be closer to you, right? Long story short, the family that I ended up staying with, the father was a pastor.
Wow. Wow. Look at God.
So at that point, there was no excuse, you know. So I started going to their church for a little bit, but then God was like, no, I'm pulling you somewhere else. And then that's when one of my friends at the time, they had told me about First Corinthians Baptist Church and in Harlem. And I said, okay, I'll try it out. And when I made the decision to get baptized, that person wasn't there. The person that told me about the church. And I remember them saying, after they saw, because I posted it on my Instagram that I got baptized, they were like, why didn't you tell me? I would have came and supported you. And I was like, no, like God said that this was only my moment. You know, it was my moment. And and he didn't want anybody taking that away from me. He didn't want anybody, you know, and that was true. That was me and God's moment for me to be cleansed again in his name. So nobody was there. It was just me.
Wow. Thank you for being there.
And friends found out when I posted it on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thank you for being obedient, man. This is, yeah. Yeah.
The obedience is key in everything that we need to do for his kingdom. I am very, very, it's very evident for me right now, because I've seen him come through so many times when I've been obedient that at this point it has become my lifestyle. He tells me to do something, I'm like, boom, okay, I don't know how it's going to get done. I don't know what's about to happen, but God said for me to do it.
Amen.
You know, amen. And again, he uses people to get you on that path. Like with the book, you know, when I told you before how somebody I had just spoke randomly to, I said, yeah, I'm writing a book. And that was 3 years ago. Yeah, I'm writing a book. And then she hit me up, you know, and was like, okay, you told me 3 years ago you was writing a book. Where is it? And I was like, God is using her to put fire under me and say, it is time. It is time. Yeah. What are you waiting for? Your book can possibly save somebody's life.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Because he has really put me on this platform for people to look up to me and be inspired by me and my words and my work. So he said, you don't know who is watching you, that this may be the day that they're like, they want to give up. And then they read your book and they're like, no, I can't. Because I can get through this journey. I can get through this day, you know? So yes, obedience is key.
Amen. And what I will say, you've always been the realest, you're true, the humility's there, you haven't changed a bit despite your many successes and this journey. And so it's just shown all over you. Just mad respect for everything you've done and how you still maintain the dignity, respect, and love for your fellow man. So,
oh my goodness, thank you for that. I tell people that none of this matters, right? None of the fame, the money, none of that matters. What truly matters is how you treat God's people and how you treat people in general.
Yes.
But you do not allow those external things to shape you.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, when we all, you know, we all take that final breath, God's not going to say, how many followers did you have? How many this and that, you know? Yeah. He's going to say, did you do what I asked of you?
Yeah.
You know, man. That's all, you know, and you can't even lie about it because he knows.
Mm-mm.
He knows. And then he's going to show you, if you would have done this, this is what would have happened.
Yeah.
Like people got to, like, think outside of this world, because none of this matters. It's I want to continue to change people's lives, and God is using me in the industry to do that. So for that I'm grateful.
And we're grateful for you, Erica. And I always give the floor to my guests, as you know. I know you're doing many things. I want you to share whatever you want to share, how long it takes, doesn't matter. You know, just help me help our listeners stay connected to you. So I'm giving you the floor.
Well, thank you. Thank you for this floor. well, I would say, like, right now at this moment in time, I am working on numerous projects as an actress. So continue to follow my page for when I announce those projects. Definitely, please head over to Barnes and Noble if you can, if you feel led, and purchase the book Transcend: Living an Inspired Life, so that you can start becoming the best version of yourself and really identifying what that looks like, right? Because it's different for everyone. I am a photographer as well. So as of lately, I've been doing a lot of behind the scenes photographs for films, as well as model casting calls. So if you need a photographer, hey, let me know. But yes, the message that I truly want to continue to put out there is just be who you and God has created you to be. Live without fear. This is not the time to shrink yourself. This is the time to really rise up and become who you were called to be. You know, yes, we're going to have a lot of people against us or things that will try to deter us, but God gives his greatest battles to his strongest soldiers. So just really keep that in mind and keep fighting the good fight. Yes.
Amen. Erica, you always have a place on the Unknown Preacher LA. Thank you so much, my sister. And we're still tracking you. Keep doing everything that you're doing. As always, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. And hopefully it's not another 2 years that we
it'll be sooner than that, I promise.
Yes. Thank you for having me again.
Hey, man. God bless.
You too. Bye.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. It's the unknown preacher.